Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The Hancock International Endurance Series on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
We do need to do a lot of maths, Paul Trusswell, to work out who's going to be fastest.
Well, we have to work out average lap times, don't we? Three qualifying sessions, as you say, Ben. What's different from Spa, I wasn't at Spa, but at Spa, they split the GT cars from the TCE cars. In this session, because there's a smaller entry, then they're putting everybody out together. So, twas ever a problem, you know, you go out for the qualifying session, you've got 15 minutes in which to do it. Realistically, that means you've got three laps at most in which to set your time, and of course that means if you come across a slower car on your fast lap, it has a big impact. So there's always this case that perhaps drivers might feel that they were impeded, but as I say, with fewer cars in this session, letting them all go out together certainly seems to make a lot of sense to me. As Chris Dawes was just saying down there in the pit lane, the only regulation is that each of three drivers, if you've got three drivers, has to go out and have a go. If you've got four drivers, one person gets a short straw. They only three of them has to drive. The regulation merely states that the AM driver, or at least an AM driver, because every crew must have at least one AM driver on its in its makeup. An AM driver has to do this first session. Other than that, you can mix your drivers as much as you like. What if you've only got two drivers, and there are a couple of teams that only have two drivers? Well, the answer there is that you send out your second driver twice, or you send out your first driver twice.
Surely you send out the one that's fastest twice.
Exactly. And there are, as I say, a couple of teams, a couple of 992 cars that are running with just two drivers. So they'll get, or one of their drivers will get two bites at the cherry to set the time. But what it all boils down to is then having to add those three laps, and it has to be three laps you do, whether you're a two-driver, a three-driver, or a four-driver crew, you have to do three laps. And then we take the average of those. Then that makes up your qualifying positions, except that, and Penn was talking about the maths, it's not so much the maths, it's just the extra little wrinkle in the rules. All the GT cars go to the front, all the TCE cars go to the back. You know, whatever the average times say, you may have some fast TCR cars that are, or TCX cars, I should say, that may be a little bit quicker than the slowest of the GTs, but their average will be what's important, and it'll be the average times that go to make the grid positions, Ben.
Riding on board with the number 34 car collection Audi R8, which finding himself quite a bit of traffic in this first lap. The car collection Audi R8 number 34 has just the three drivers this weekend. We're riding on board with Dr. Yannis Kirchhoff. Max Edelhoff is what's known here in 24H terms as the AM Plus driver, and they also have Elmar Grimm aboard that car. So no fast drivers to make it a Pro-Am entry, just AM drivers. It does mean that it therefore competes in just the AM category with CP Racing and JR Motorsport. And then we just add a couple of other GT cars to the entry, the Pro-Am entry of Phoenix and the full Pro entry of GT3's Jutta Racing.
I think what we have to point out about the car collection car, though, Ben, is that Max Edelhoff maybe an AM Plus, so he is an AM, but this new category which Creventic has introduced for this year is to recognise those AMs who are blooming good drivers. And Max Edelhoff is one of those. He may not have had the experience in higher levels of the sport in other categories, hasn't won any international series, but he is very quick behind the wheel of that car, so look out for Max when it's his turn behind the wheel of the car. fastest of them at the moment, and haven't had very many minutes of the session. Less than 5 minutes have elapsed of this session. But fastest of them at the moment is the BMW, the M6 GT3 of the JR Motorsport team, which has got Dirk Schouten at the wheel of it at the moment. And they've done a 1 minute 43.548 to be quickest, and that's 2 seconds quicker than anyone else. The quickest of the anyone else's at the moment being the number 71 Jutta Racing Audi. Audi is certainly cars to have, it would seem, at the moment, having won the race at Spa and the car of choice of three of the top entrants, Car Collection, Jutta, and of course Phoenix, who we've yet to see lighting up the front of the timing screens. But the Jutta Racing car is currently, it's actually just gone down a place, it's now in fourth place with Aimaitas Navrikatos Kausas at the wheel.
The Audi's such an easy car for the gentleman driver to jump into. At the top end of GT3 racing, struggles to be as competitive because the pro drivers can't extract as much speed. But what we do know about the Audi is it is a car that you can sit in and drive well from a less professional perspective.
An Evo car for this year. These customer racing cars, Audi having been working away in the background, and they've produced this Evo car for 2022. So it's still called an R8 LMS, but it's an R8 LMS GT3 Evo. But it's the second time they've done this, so it's the Evo 2. So they've the R8 itself getting quite long in the tooth. But as Ben says, certainly a car which Audi customer racing has made very much appealing to the gentleman racing driver. Yeah, whether that means that the ultimate can be got out of it by the pros. Well, I've spoken to some people, and yes, yeah. I think the ultimate, you will always, I mean, a pro driver will always get the ultimate out of his car, won't he? Proof of the pudding is in the eating. Who won at Spa? Audi. So we'll see. We've got a long way to go yet.
There is a look, if you are on our stream, of the number two BMW M6 GT3, a very large machine. Of course, BMW have moved to the M4 now at the top echelons of their GT3 categories, and the number two car with the fastest lap time comes into pit lane, deciding that they cannot go any faster, I imagine, and so they give themselves plenty of time to get the second driver in. So one driver per qualifying group. We have three qualifying groups, so everyone will get a bite of the cherry. What they do with tyres is up to them. We might also be seeing a little tyre pressure change here. We've got them up to speed, and we do also have a car in the gravel. So very good to get your lap time in quick, because the session is certainly now going to be interrupted by a yellow flag. Jean-François Desmorges for the Porsche Lorient Racing at 992 in the gravel, entering the stadium section and just on the edge, actually, of the gravel trap to the track. So not a particularly safe place to be. Yellow flags are flying around there at the moment. Therefore, nobody can improve their time.
And still with 6.5 minutes of the session to go, not saying that nobody can improve their time. If you've not done a time yet, then you will be able to. It's just that you'll have to slow down through that part of the track. What Ben was just saying is absolutely right as well. Some cars already calling it a day. In fact, we've gone code 60 now, so that certainly is going to stop anybody from going quicker.
Yeah.
And if you do then rely on your code 60 time as part of your average, then you're going to be well and truly scuppered. What I was trying to say was, coming into the pits then, very much the order of the day, you do have to change the driver during this pit stop. You've got a five-minute window in which to do it. Leicester Racing, I see, have stayed out. As has the nine. Didn't see which car that was, actually.
I mean, what's the point, really?
Well, yes, quite. Unless you're hoping for it to be a quick code 60, in which case you then don't want to be doing a start-up lap if there's only going to be about 5 minutes of the session remaining. No refueling is the other key thing to mention during this entire qualifying session. So the entire three sessions and the 5 minute gaps in between, no refueling is allowed, although you are, as Ben said, allowed to change tyres, and it is mandatory to change drivers at each stop. So driver one, driver two, driver three, and the only restriction there is that driver one must be an AM, and if you're only a two-driver team, then your driver three and your driver one ends up being the same.
So as I mentioned, we've got five GT3s in the entry list, three of them at the top of our timing screens right now. It's the JR Motorsport BMW M6. That is the fastest by 1.6 seconds over Charles Putman, CP Racing, victorious last time out. And then Dr. Kirchhoff in third position, just 0.2 back from Charlie Putman. So that's a good effort from Johannes Kirchhoff. Then the first of our 992s, interestingly, Pulse Racing team by Terting. 2.3 back, 2.5 back is Redant. And then in fifth position is our pro Jutta Racing Lithuanian car, which is Imantanis Navikasus. Again, the am of the two Ben, other semi-pro cars. Let's go down to the pit lane whilst we've got this code 60 and not much is happening other than a Porsche going backwards into behind the pit wall and find out what's going on with our fastest man down the pits.
Yes, Ben, I'm standing right by, in fact, in the way of one of the mechanics by the Dirk Schouden-driven number two BMW, the car you've just been talking about. Fastest car on the circuit at the moment. A couple of interesting things. They came in very early on code 60. They've had some tyre pressure increased on the front right. That's, you can just hear it leaving right now. The other thing is, no driver change. Dirk stayed in that car.
No, they won't be allowed to drive a change until between the next this session and the next session. So that is the reason why he's going to have to go and try and improve his time to give themselves more of a gap to the chasing pack. It's not going to happen, though, is it,
green,
Paul
green,
Trosswell?
Green.
Because whilst it says green on the timing screens, you and I, out of our window, can see another car in the same gravel trap as we had before. Yellow flags are flying into the stadium section. Mr. Trosswell, prepared as always, brings out the binoculars, as we can't see them from our TV screens. But we do have
essential.
Another code 60, Trusses. Who is it?
Essential part of any commentator's, what do you call them, accoutrements. It's the Porsche from the GTX class now on the screen. So it's, I was looking in amongst the Porsches of the 992s, but it's not. It's the Veluga racing car. This is the Brad Ellis team car. It's not Bradley Ellis at the wheel of it at the moment, but it's Bradley Ellis's team, the Veluga team. Car number 205 in the hands of Rhea Lucas. Rhea and her brother, mine's gone blank. What's his brother's name? Leonidas. Two Cypriot drivers. And Rhea just getting it. I don't know, it's easy. You come off that long straight, don't you? Back from, I mean, on the old Hockenheim circuit, you arrive there very fast indeed. But there's quite a big chicane there now. It's not really a chicane. It's a big right. It's a big stop, first of all, then a big right-hand turn, back to the left, and then a faster right-hand turn. But, again, trying to get as much speed as you can, carrying it into the stadium section, and you just go off into the gravel on the exit of the on the exit of the track there. So back to code 60.
Yeah, and a normal accident for the previous Porsche, I would say, in the position in which it was sitting in the gravel trap. Rhea has done a good job because she's got quite a halfway down the straight between that fast right-hander and the slower left-hander. So she's, I think, tried to save it a couple of times before she's ended up stopping in that particular point. A little bit of damage to the back end of the GP4 Cayman. This is the only car in its category, so it will win. And it will be looking to other competitors to fight with as our first 992 car to visit the gravel trap is now in the pits and is with Peter.
Yeah, hi, Ben. It most definitely needs a car wash at the moment, especially front left. Obviously inspecting that, going around now, clearing out various amounts of gravel there. I'm sure they can do some building works, the amount of gravel in that one. My point about the driver change with Dirk's Schouten BMW was that he did stay in it with 3 minutes 23 seconds to go, I think. We've got 26 counting down seconds to go. But the 124 entry TCR did do a driver change, but just stayed in the pit because obviously he couldn't go out. So different strategies there, which I'm sure Mr. Truswell will be able to enlighten us on a little bit more.
Just following the rules, basically. You're not allowed to do a driver change during the 15 minutes, so you have to wait until the next session starts before your new driver goes out. And if you do go out, you've got to have the same driver throughout. But we've gone from purple now to red flag with only a matter of 2 seconds left on the clock. The session will not be resumed, we are told on the messages, and the... We wait to be told when the restart will be, but the reason they've done this is because it may take more than 5 minutes, although it shouldn't do, to get the track back to racing conditions.
Yeah, actually, red flag, the car is behind the wall, so they have recovered that Porsche, but I don't actually think there was any point in continuing the session. I was waiting.
Exactly.
There was one TCR car coming round the final turn, and I wondered if they were might be lucky and get green flag running, because of course had they gone across the finishing line before the timer had elapsed but in green flag conditions, they could have tried to push a lap into that session. However, they missed out, and red flag encourages everyone to go back into the pits as well.
Was that the Lestrade Racing TCR?
It was the 116.
Right, yeah, 110 was the Lestrade Racing.
Okay.
116. We don't have a 116. Yes, we do. That's the Wolf car, isn't it? That's a Wolf Power Audi. Yeah, okay. Right, okay. So, anyway, the one who has lost out in that is the Lestrade Racing car, 110, whose time for the first qualifying was...
Oh, yes.
Now I've got to switch myself over. A very slow one of 4 minutes and 6 seconds. The other one, which was fairly slow, was a 3:29.
Wow.
For the 102.
Yes, and that's our winner from last time out at Spa. They are 106 seconds off the fastest time. And, of course, the fastest time being a GT car, you would expect them to be within 20 seconds of that, not 106 seconds. So Holmgaard Motorsport are going to be very disappointed with that, as are Lestrade Racing, as you mentioned. Everyone else... maybe got a time in. I would say GSR quite off the pace if that was a proper effort, but very difficult to get a proper effort in. So now what has happened is we have installed a new driver into all these cars. If they would like to take tyres, they will take tyres. Some of the TCR cars might take front but not rears. And we will await the green flag for qualifying two, which will be coming up in just a second.
Yes, in maybe a little bit more than a second, but very shortly, certainly. The point that Ben was just making about tyres, Creventic Racing doesn't have any rule about tyres. Although the tyres are all the same, they're all supplied by Hankook, they're supplied but not given by Hankook. It's a matter of how much you're prepared to pay. And in effect, the teams here are left to their own devices to decide how many tyres they want to go out and buy. They will undoubtedly use the tyres that they're using in this session later on in the weekend. It may not be used later in the qualifying. They may decide to send each of the drivers out on a brand new set of tyres. But having only done 3 or 4 laps, the tyres were perfectly good to go out and do another hour's worth of driving later on. Haven't yet found out quite what the tyre wear characteristics are here at Hockenheim, but when we get some information on that, we'll let you know. But as I say, the tyres should last a full tank of fuel, and for the fast GT3 cars, that's a little bit over an hour. If you're talking TCR or 992, you're talking about an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and a half, something like that. And so this short 15-minute session, in those terms, represents no time at all.
Now, I wonder whether we are having a little bit of delay in proceedings to allow the Veluga car to get back to pit lane and therefore allow them to have a crack at qualifying. Well, we've got a very overheating... Is that one of the Mercedes or an Audi? One or two, three cars...
Cloud of steam makes it impossible to tell.
Well, interesting. It looked very bad from one angle, and it looks kind of slightly steamy from the other angle, but not disastrous. It's the car that is eighth in qualifying so far, so it's actually a 992, I think. Got a couple of guys running down to the end of the pits to switch the cars off because they are obviously sitting there stationary but on and therefore getting a bit hot. It is a Porsche because the mechanics are getting into the back end of the car, so that's where the engine is at the back rather than at the front. And indeed, there's a better shot of it. It is the 904. Let's go down to... Oh, they're going to try and remove him out of the way by the looks of things. Green flag at the end of pit lane. So we are going qualifying again. Can they get that car clear? There's a huge amount of smoke as he fires off and disappears onto the circuit, but it suddenly clears itself up again. So not quite as much of a panic for Red Ant as we first thought. And we are now back to green flag racing.
Or at least into the second session of qualifying, that's right. So second drivers installed, either new tyres or not put on the cars, depending on what the individual teams and drivers want to do. Problems for Red Ant. For Red Camel, meanwhile, they're still sitting outside their garage, maybe waiting for a gap in the traffic, maybe just making some last-minute tweaks to the car. As far as classes were concerned, after that first set of qualifying, as Ben said, it was the overall and leading GT3 was the number 2 BMW. As far as the 992s were concerned, it was the number 905, which was the quickest in that first qualifying time.
And yeah, Pulse Lean Racing.
And they've got, interestingly, that they are running as, I think, one... Yes, Peter Terting is still to come in that car, and he will be very quick. They're running as the only other pro entry in the 992 category.
And Peter, one of only two pros in total.
In the whole field, really?
In the whole field, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so...
The other being Pierre Caffer, of course, who is in the Phoenix Racing machine that we will... we haven't really featured yet because Phoenix Racing did not get a good lap time in, and therefore Pierre will have a lot of work to do when he jobs aboard that Audi R8 a bit later on.
Sven Herberger out now. The driver who was first out was Elia Earhart, I do believe. Although, no, Elia is an AM Plus, so it will have been Michael Doppelmayr who was out first. And Michael's time, good enough for 15th fastest, or in terms of his class position, well, first in the Pro-Am.
But there is only one.
GT3, yeah, there's only one in the Pro-Am GT3. Fifth in GT3 as a whole. We're talking about GT3 as a whole because... Yeah. Basically, we've only got five of them, three of them running as AMs, one as Pro and one as Pro-Am.
Interestingly, Sven Herberger, if our graphics are to be believed correctly, now aboard that car. So they're going AM-AM, meaning that they are either not going to run in qualifying Elia Earhart or Pierre Caffer, who are the two faster drivers of that quadruple.
No, they'll be running Pierre third.
You definitely thought so, yeah.
It could be Elia Earhart who misses out. But with four drivers on the crew, that always has to be the case. Only got three qualifying sessions. One driver has to miss out, and they've elected, or Elia has elected, to be the driver who misses out. Not mentioned the CP Mercedes either yet. That was sent out on its first lap by number 85, Charlie Putman. He now has been replaced by Joe Foster. And Charles Espenlau will be the third driver through.
Let's get down to the pit lane as we get our tyres warm for this second part of qualifying.
Yeah, just a very quick one, Ben, is that we got down to the end of the pit lane to try and find out what all the smoke was about. And certainly Snowy was convinced that it was oil smoke with the colour of it. And one of the Red Ant team guys was overlooking to see the surface itself. And he said it's definitely still dripping as it went away. And he said possibly overfilled with oil, and he's not sure whether it's okay or not yet. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I saw another of the Porsches actually halfway up pit lane doing a very similar thing, just because whilst they were sitting there stationary, both cars on track now running well and clear. So it seems to have been, as you say, an overfill for them. There is a slightly wayward car collection, number 34. We saw Dr. Johannes Kirchhoff aboard that car. It's Elmar Grimm who is now aboard that machine. Third position for that car in the first part of our qualifying session. But it doesn't matter now. Elmar has to do his own best time and we'll combine all the three different qualifying times. Elmar's going to have a little bit of an issue with track limits because on two occasions there he's overstepped the sausage curbs. Probably not quite got the tyres up to temperature. These Hankook tyres designed to do at least an hour in these GT3 machines and can be double stinted depending on the track surface, characteristics, yada yada yada. And so don't necessarily give you maximum performance straight out of the bag. And of course also for cutting measures they don't have tyre warmers
they do have tyre warmers
but they're never quite the same temperature as when you're running on track, are they?
No, they're not. And the other aspect of these tyres which you have to bear in mind is that when you do go fast on them when they're brand new, you shorten their lifespan. So these tyres, although they will get used again, they'll be wheeled away, and that's where somebody in the team has to be nominated as being tyre manager, because he has to make sure that those tyres don't get used in a stint which suddenly turns into an hour and a half. Rather, it's a stint that only lasts 40 minutes. And very often, when you're starting off a stint, you don't quite know how long it's going to last because you don't know when the next Code 60 is going to come along.
Earlier on, I said that the Veluga Porsche was our only GT3 competitor. That was one of the first mistakes, or perhaps many more to come. It is a GT4 car, but it is running in TCX spec here.
But it's the only TCX car.
There is another one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. The Ligier that I think today. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
So there is only one GT4. I was correct in that bit, but it's a Mercedes. And it's the Maniac Racing Liechtenstein car that we just saw being passed by our front two Audis. And so be interesting to see how that goes. Got a great livery on that, Maniac Racing. Kind of slightly... I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it, but it's... we've got a car off again. 992 off again. Looks like a bit more damage this time.
912.
912 at the front end of that car. Has it gone from one side of the track to the other? If I look out my window again, I think it might have made contact with the tyre barrier. So we're going to go code 60 once more, and that is really going to upset the those that have not got lap times in, including Bradley Ellis in Veluga. He has not got a time in yet, and there is a 992. Oh, and it's that car, actually, that hasn't set a time either. But there's a bit of front splitter off in the grass there. For me, the front bodywork doesn't look quite how it should, and I think he may have made contact with the wall.
And it was Jean-François Demorge last time, Philippe Pellet this time. So that car's having a pretty worrisome time as far as qualifying session is concerned, and as Ben rightly predicted, we have gone to a code 60, a little over 7 minutes remain. Rescue units already present, so hopefully they'll be able to get the car out of that place of danger, get the code 60 out of the way, and then get on with the qualifying session.
Yeah, he's somehow managed to remove a bit of, or move those tyre stacks, which have obviously got belting.
He hit the wall.
Yeah. Remarkable stuff. So we go code 60 once again. Did I finish my point about the GT4 car? I think I did.
Yes.
It's got a cool livery, was what I was going to say. And we did see it being passed a little bit earlier on. Let's get back down to the pits.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. The big one for me is that we saw that car being cleared out of all its kitty litter. And I have to say, it was an incredible amount. They were sort of knocking it out with any long instrument they could find, basically, from all four corners. And you've got to say, in that quicker turnaround, is there a chance of it being left there? I mean, Snowy, from a driver's perspective, the likelihood of suddenly going to try and use the brakes and something being stuck there.
Yeah, exactly so, Chris. And my first thought, as Paul's just said, is two different drivers in that car both had an issue. So does it point towards a car issue? Chicken and egg, which is first? Did the first driver pick up kitty litter, as you say, which caused the second driver a problem, or is it an inherent car problem? But at this time, it has connected with the wall. So we may go a little bit further than the code 60, because obviously there's got to be barrier repairs now with conveyor belting. But we will see. But it's always dangerous to speculate. But yeah, it's the second 15-minute session of the weekend, and they're getting us busy already, Chris.
And there's going to be less we were talking about earlier, Ben, weren't we? Less code 60s than Spa, and it's just been bad luck. But definitely, I thought it was worth noting just how much of the litter had to be scooped out of that car, and it didn't give them enough time to do it fully, necessarily.
Thank you very much, guys. This car is effectively parked up on the entry to the slow hairpin. It has done so much, I think, Paul, off-roading on the exit of the corner in which its teammate previously ditched it. It's gone through that gravel. You know, you're trying to keep your foot in through the gravel. Gravel's being spat around on the left-hand side. And as you do so, there's a couple of bumps in that curbing, which may have unsettled the car. Because actually, where it made contact with the wall is the marshal post, and I think the 150-metre board, or maybe even the 100-metre board braking zone, into the left-hand turn. So he's got a long way in into the next turn before actually having the accident. So a bit of saving going on, and all three accidents have happened at the same turn. We have a great view from our commentary booth of that corner, the corner entering the stadium section. Which I think, Paul, we need to get right, haven't we? We do have names for these corners.
Oh, you know, the left-hander is the Sachs Kurve. At least that's what I always grew up knowing that was what that was called. The right-hander that brings you into the arena, I have to say that I'm going to have to look it up. And when I see it, I'll go, oh, yeah, of course. But it generally, in the original configuration of Hockenheim, was the corner that brought you back from out in the woods.
First corner for ages, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Turn 12 is, if you've got an up-to-date circuit map, as I say, the fast right-hander after the chicane, which, as I say, brings you back from out in the woods.
Unfortunately, it's called Mobile One, which is rather disappointing, really. We've got the Mercedes Arena, which we all know about. Great grandstand built about 10, 15 years ago. We've got the North Curve and the Sud Curve, which is turns 16, so the last curve, which is Sud Curve. The first turn of the circuit is called Nord Curve. Sachs Curve, as correctly stated, is the slow left-hand turn in the arena section of the original circuit. And then, guess what the turn 6 at the middle of the lap is called, that is very tight?
Hairpin, what's that called?
Called hairpin.
They're called hairpin.
They call it the hairpin. Parabolica followed by hairpin. Some incredibly imaginative names. Interestingly, though, the corner that takes you off the old circuit, turn 2, doesn't, on my map, doesn't have a name, which is a bit sad.
Well, that's because that's not a corner that was that ever existed in the old days, is it?
Maybe that's it. But neither did hairpin.
Yeah, they. I've got a map here that calls it the entrance to the Parabolica. yeah.
In English as well.
No, it's actually Einfahrt Parabolica. But
okay.
So the Hockenheim circuit in a new configuration, not strictly speaking its second configuration.
I've found another website that calls it the Bernie Eccleston Curve.
I think I've heard that called that as well. Yes. So now you mention it. The new Hockenheim, start-finish line topped and tailed by the North Curve and the South Curve, a bit like Crystal Palace in the old days. And, of course, the Ost Curve used to be the corner right over on the far side. 2 minutes to go in the session, and we've moved from code 60 to red again, Ben. So, again, driver changes can now happen. And disqualifying.
Well, if we are going red flag, and I know it is red flag, session will not be resumed again.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't say that bit.
Yeah. Because with 2 minutes and 15 seconds remaining,
yes,
you could start a lap. Get out, start a lap.
Yes, but you're not going to be allowed to because the session is going to be removed.
No.
So the point being that this puts the averages into absolute
chaos.
Chaos. I mean, it's the calculation of the averages is straightforward enough. It's still 1, 2, and 3. But your opportunity to go fast in the second session, even less than the opportunity to go fast in the first session. So as it stands after two qualifying sessions, we've got the Car Collection Audi number 34 leading with Elmar Grimm, the last driver, out. We've got the Jutta Audi number 71 in second place on the timing screen, average of 1:43.952. That's only 0.03 of a second on average to make up. We've got the CP Motorsport Mercedes third, car number 85, Joe Foster, the driver who was taking part in Q2. And then the fastest of the 992 Porsches, being Ayrton Redon, or Red Ant, depending on how you pronounce the name or the team. His name is Redon, but the team is called Red Ant. That's car number 903. Ayrton, no question. He is the quickest of the three drivers in that car, so we'll see who goes out third. I can't remember who went out second now. I think it was Bert who went out first. Anyway, it will now be Yannick who goes out. Actually, Yannick is quicker than Ayrton, I think. So we will get the faster time yet from the 903 Porsche. That car in very good stead indeed in fourth. Fifth is the fastest of the GTX cars. Tim Muller at the wheel of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo car. 1:45.397 for him. And then sixth fastest, car number 909, is the Red Camel 992 with Luke Broekers having taken over from Father Ivo, who did the first session, Luke having done the second. And that leaves Rick to do the third. So they too have a quick driver about to get in their car for their third qualifying session.
Fastest man of that qualifying two session, however, was Sven Herberger, driving for Phoenix. A 1:41.8 was his time. And of course, we haven't mentioned him because Michael Doppelmayr was in the first part of the session and only managed to do something along the lines of a 52. So the 41 versus 52 has brought down the average to something that probably Pierre Caffa, if he gets a clear lap in, can do something about and bring that car a little bit higher up the order. Because for the moment, as an average, it still sits down there in 11th position.
Yeah, so 15th after Q1, yeah, 11th after Q2. Yeah. He'll be in the top 10, certainly. But of course, that's going to depend on some green flag time as well.
And the fastest car in Q1 was the BMW, remember? But that in Number Q2 two. Only managed to do a 1:49. So that's dropped from provisionally on pole position down to 8th fastest. I think this grid is going to be a real hotchpotch and bit random. You might as well forget about driving, just put your hand in a pot and just pick out your grid position, because it's going to be, I think, the first couple of laps of tomorrow's race, which, by the way, starts at 2 o'clock local time, is going to be quite an interesting one. Certainly one to tune into here on our YouTube channel in vision and in audio at Radio Show Limited as well.
10 minutes to two. We've had a number of iterations through this calendar. An absolute curfew of 8 o'clock. So we're going to run part one from 10 minutes to two until 5 to 8. And then they're going to whisk them off the track very, very quickly. And then part two of the race will start at 2:05 and also run up until 8 o'clock. So in total, it'll be 12 hours, but in two chunks, one of 6 hours and 5 minutes, the other of 5 hours and 55 minutes.
And from a strategy perspective, obviously Spa was a little bit different because Spa was a 5:30 and a 6:30. That does add a little bit more fun for the strategist to work out exactly how to split it.
Do you know what? There's only once been a Kreventic two-part race where the first part was longer than the second part, and that was at Hockenheim. And we're doing it again. The other little trivia that Hockenheim achieves is that the first ever 24-hour series race here was over 16 hours. They had it as a 16-hour race. Down to the pits.
Let's get down to the pits with Joe Foster.
Joe, a bit of a messy qualifying there for. We said about not so many code 60s here. From your point of view, just a little bit difficult out there, trying for you.
No, absolutely. You know, I was all excited. I think it's a cool format to level the drivers. You've seen that in WEC before as well. So I think the intention is a good intention. I know I was looking forward to it because I don't usually get to qualify this car, so I was looking forward to it. And in the end, once we got started, it was over, and that was it. So never really got a lap. First lap had traffic, and then second and third lap had traffic, and then the code 60. So not really a fair shake. Same thing happened to Charlie in the first session as well with code 60s. I think it's a challenge maybe mixing the classes for this kind of qualifying. When you see, for example, it's been three drivers in the same car in the past in other series, they don't mix the classes at the same time. So that might be a bit of a challenge, but it's a work in progress. I know the series is going in the right direction and trying hard, but definitely an adventure today.
So you're provisional P3, but you didn't quite get into the groove is what you're saying.
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't get a clear lap and it was over. And so that was it. We were still getting warmed up.
Thoughts on temperature for the weekend? It's going to get a lot hotter. It's nice and cool this evening.
Yeah, I think temperature is fine. We're all in it together, so we'll figure it out. The track definitely had a huge change from yesterday to today, and then even throughout today as it got warmer, it changed quite a bit. So we're chasing setup like everybody, so it's no problem.
Joe Fotter, thank you very much. Green.
Thank you very much to Peter Snowden, who joined us down in the pit boxes with Chris Dawes this weekend. They're doing sterling work down there. You may have heard their voices on various RSL programs, but you probably have never seen their faces until this weekend. Whereas I'm hiding my face this weekend. This time last year I was stuck in Hockenheim pit lane all alone with everyone else and back in London. I think that was it was a lonely time. Green flag conditions. So we are now into Q3, the last part of our qualifying session. Different drivers again. Usually these are the fastest drivers of the squads. So we should see the likes of Pierre Caffer aboard.
That was the one that I kind of held up my finger as you said it. How you knew that was the one I was going to pick out.
Well, you predicted it.
But I predicted it, but it's not Pierre Caffer. Pierre has decided to take a back seat, and fair enough. As long as it says the pro driver can't drive in qualifying, but in the car collection car, Phoenix Racing car, they have four drivers. They've only got three qualifying sessions, and Pierre has decided to sit the whole thing out. And Elliot Earhart then is taking part in the third qualifying session then for Phoenix Motorsport. I'm still sure the same will apply, Ben, that they will improve from 11th on the grid, which is where they currently are. And one would hope, I'd like to think, that with the better drivers at the wheel now, we won't have them throwing it off into the scenery.
Yes,
or is
you
that
would
being
hope
naive?
So. You would hope so. 912 has been recovered back to pit lane, as has the Veluga machine, which is looking incredibly dusty. That will allow at least one driver to get out onto circuit for Veluga. Unfortunately, 912, I don't think, will go back onto track, predominantly because it's been delivered on the back of a low loader, as well as the fact that it has only just been delivered at full stop. Quite interested to see that in fifth position before we started this session was the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo of Leopard Motorsport. That's a GTX car, not in GT3 because it's the Super Trofeo version rather than the GT3 version, but in some guises, that car can be as fast, if not faster, than a GT3. So right up there in the mix of things with the 992s and the GT3 category cars, and well ahead of the rest of the GTXs.
Not sure it's ever been quicker than a GT3. I think in a straight line, possibly, because it doesn't have very much aerodynamics on it. That's part of the reason that it is a Super Trofeo. So in a straight line, possibly a top speed will make it difficult. And a very excitable TCX car out there at the moment, Ben.
Squeaky bum moment, absolutely. The TCX 124 machine going through the first turn, losing the unheated rear wheels. This is Wimmer Verk Motorsport, which is a new team for us here at the 24H series. No. Turns into turn one, cold rear tyres. It slides, and he only just saves the slide before just missing the tyres on the inside of turn one. So that could have been a classic TCR kind of shunt where the rears don't follow where the fronts wanted to go. But luckily, he did save it, and he carries on for another day.
We have seen Wimmer out there before,
okay.
In Kreventic. Possibly not this year. I'm trying to think if they were in Dubai. But they've certainly been in Kreventic racing before, because I remember the name. Although any names that I remember, bear in mind that, as far as I was concerned, the last 2 years didn't exist. So it will be 3 years ago when they participated.
And this car is a TCR car, a DSG box rather than... and it is a slightly older Cupra than we now see at the top end of TCR, getting very, very held up by one of the Audis. Oh, no, it's not an Audi, sorry. It's Veluga clearing its tyres. And it's they're saying that Candy Kasuri is aboard. Candy Kasuri is aboard BBR, so that's a completely different car. There we go, that's the Candy Kasuri car, which is 159. Right at the sharp end, and is fastest of TCR in this particular category. But again, with a little bit of traffic with the Audi ahead. Just one of the TCR Audis with us this weekend.
Fastest time overall for Elia Earhart in the Phoenix Racing Audi, car number 18, a 1 minute 40.697. Puts the Phoenix car well into the top 10, never mind. In fact, into the top six, never mind the top ten. So Elia Earhart then, an average time for Phoenix of 1:44.889. Quickest on the averages overall, though, is Max Edelhoff in the car collection Audi. So Audi's quick in overall terms in Q3 and quick in average terms in the overall positioning. So Max Edelhoff with a time of 1:41.475. brings the average to a 1:43.109 for the car collection. It's an Audi 1-2 in terms of averages as well, because second fastest is car 71, the Jutta Racing Audi, which Julius Adamovicius is now driving. Julius, who has been seen out in Dubai, he was driving with Red Camel for the in the 992 class Porsche, but now moving up with Jutta Motorsport to the GT3 class, and Julius then having done a time of 1:42.030 to bring the average for that car to the second fastest. So it's two Audis, first and second. Third fastest is the CP Racing Mercedes, which Charles Espenlaub is now behind the wheel of, and he has done a 1:44.073 to bring the average for that car to 1:44.556. So as far as the top four is concerned, Ben, it's Audi, Mercedes. I didn't get the sentence completed enough quickly enough, because it's now Mercedes Porsche, because the fastest 992, Yannick Redon, is now up into fourth fastest in car 903, the Red Ant Racing Porsche.
So much traffic for everyone to contend with. At the moment, Max Edelhoff in the car collection Audi is our fastest man, but it's incredibly close. You've just been through who is where, but can you believe that the top three are separated by 0.2 seconds right now, only halfway through this session, and if it continues to stay green, then we might or should see a lot of improvements, including these two Audis that we're watching on screen having a great scrap. They're not supposed to be racing. This is qualifying, but they are enjoying the same part of the circuit at the same time. It's Elia Earhart in the Phoenix number 18, just ahead of Julius Adamovicius in the 71. But the 71 is the one that wants to improve, just 0.2 off pole position right now. And with Elia, just ahead of him, gets compromised by a Porsche. But I was about to say, if he could stay with him, he would be towed along, and that will certainly help his pace as well. I did notice, by the way, that the 710, which is our Super Trofeo from Leopard Racing, fastest sector 2 time of anybody. So that's basically a straight line. So that's where the Super Trofeo is fast.
Yes, okay, yep. So you were right. They can, if we'd have a straight line circuit, then yes, the Super Trofeo would be quickest. So bring it on. Let's have a Kreventic race around Indianapolis. Into the pits has come Elia Earhart then with the Phoenix Racing Audi. They are quickest in this session, but I don't know that Elia is going to go out again.
Door opens on that machine.
The session has another 6 minutes to run, so there's time. I just don't get the feeling they will.
No, he's getting out the car, so he's happy with his 1:40.69. Doesn't think he can improve that time at all, and therefore Phoenix will only start seventh and no further, no higher up. Let's get down to the pit lane with an update on the 912.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Just been chatting to the technicians. It looks, I'm going to use a dangerous word now, it looks superficial, they think, for the moment, but certainly no substructure damage. But an explanation as to why the car went so far from leaving the track initially to the point of impact was the driver went through the gravel initially and was back on the grass, thought it was all pointing straight, quote-unquote, got back on the power, and then it turned left.
That's because it had gravel on its tyres. Happens.
Interesting thought, yes.
Happens often. We do have a fastest first sector of the lap for Espen Laub, third position for CP Racing right now in this particular session, third in the qualifying session overall, but looking to improve. And at the moment, only needs to find effectively 0.2 seconds to get himself on the pole. So from row two to row one is where he will be aiming for. Let's see if he can find more time in the middle sector of the lap as well.
Yeah, just looking down at who are the likely lads to improve their time. Well, who the ones who aren't. In the pits is being shown the Phoenix Audi, and that car, as Ben said, Elliot Earhart out of it, and the car pushed back into its garage. Also in the pits and out of the session is the number two, Baz Schouten, BMW, the M6. Harry Hilders is in with the 992 Porsche car, number 928. And then Javier Morcillo is in the pits with car number 910. And that's another of our GT... No, it's not. That's E2P Racing, isn't it? Yes, E2P Racing, the Porsche 992. So that car's session is complete. Also, the Leipert Motorsport Lamborghini is in, 720. So Paulius Pescovicius is in the pits with the number 71. Paulius Pescovicius, yes, he's in the 72 car, 720 car. Yeah. And he brings, getting my Lithuanians confused because he is from Lithuania, as is the 71 car, which is currently in second place.
And from TCR Wolf Power Racing, Yasmin Pressing coming in. She is the semi-pro of that team. So we've been missing track action from qualifying one and qualifying two thanks to accidents and code 60s and red flags. And when we are green, the boys and girls don't want to take it all. Obviously, I'm thinking that because it's so warm, 26 degrees I saw when we parked up, 24 degrees mentioned a bit earlier on as the sun has gone down. It's local time, past 7 o'clock, nearly 8 o'clock. Nearly 8 o'clock. So the temperature will be dropping, but I wonder whether we're not finding the best out of the tyres after a couple of laps because it's so hot. And that is something to think about throughout the whole of tomorrow afternoon and Sunday afternoon as well.
I think it's probably more a case of those tyres going off and the teams not being prepared to throw another set of tyres at this point. As I said earlier on, the tyres, these Hankook tyres, give their best laps in the first three laps or so. To get them to come back, you really then need to cool them down for an hour and scrub them, and then they'll come back and do another stint. But at this point, without changing the tyres, you really had the best of them, I suspect.
And Espen Laub's last lap time, a good couple of seconds off where he's managed to be before. So his best time of the session, a 1:41.6, only managed a 1:45 on that last lap. Something, maybe traffic actually, because it seems to be quite a big deficit between that time and what he was doing before, does mean as though that CP stay in that third position behind Car Collection and behind our all-pro lineup in the Audi R8 Jutta Racing Lithuanian team. That's got two semi-pros in it, so you would expect them to be right at the sharp end.
Yes, it's an all-pro lineup in the sense that it's running in the pro class. within GT3, although none of the drivers are actually pro drivers, as you said earlier on, Pierre Caffer and Peter Terting, the only two pro drivers we've got in the entry.
Yeah.
But it is running in the GT3 Pro class, which removes all of the restrictions on them, basically. They don't have to worry about drive time limits for their lower driver. They do, however, have a slower refueling rate. So when they come in and refuel, their car will get fuel at 80% of the rate of the M-Class cars. So there's a lot to be judged in deciding whether you run as a pro car or as a pro-Am car, and within the Am category, whether you run with this Am benefit, which the 34 car collection car does, or whether you run as an Am neutral, which limits you again. You're not allowed to have any... but Am drivers if you're running in the Am category.
10 seconds left on the clock. We do still have cars pushing on lap times out on track. The 904 Red Ant machine getting a faster lap last time through with Sam De Jong, but didn't improve its position. Jutta Racing are on a push lap. Here we've picked them up in the stadium section. Green in the first sector, green in the second sector of the lap. Could this be enough to find, what is it, 1.5 tenths of a second they need to get themselves on the pole position? Just a couple of corners to go round this Hockenheim circuit. I see a rear wing just in front. Are they going to get compromised by traffic in the last sector? The vortex is there, but not quite in the way. Over the line goes Adamichvius, and he does improve his lap time, but it looks as though it is not enough to improve his position in the average. It does seem as though bang on 2 tenths of a second now, so yeah. He did find a tiny bit of time, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, so 142.024, the time for Adamovicius there on his last flying lap. And the average for the three laps from the three separate qualifying is a 143.309. That's the average.
Paul, so you're mentioning as we go check a flag, and we can go and celebrate in a few moments' time with our pole team. You mentioned 80% of the rate,
yes,
fueling-wise. But these are standard fuel pumps that you find at the service station, right? So do they have an extra kind of dongle that needs to be fitted? How does that work?
There used to be a dongle. Yeah, I saw the messages coming up there. There's two ways in which fuel is restricted. One is by the amount that you're allowed to refuel. Your tank may be 110 litres, but some of the teams restricted to only being allowed to refuel by 100 litres at every pit stop. So that's the amount that you're allowed to do. But if you're in a pro-class GT3 car or a pro-class 992 car, then you also get penalised with the rate. And the way that works is that there is a tag which the refueler puts on the tank, on the refueling pump, which identifies the team. And that says, OK, the rate that this fuel is going in is only 80% of what it is if it would be an AM-class car.
Well, hopefully that clears that one up. Let's get down to our pit lane. I see Chris Dawes is positioning himself with Car Collection Motorsport, who are pole position for tomorrow's start of the 12 hours of Hockenheim.
Yep, I'm down here with Max Edelhoff. Max, congratulations. A great pole position. And all three of you were pretty close on your times.
Yeah, it was very good. I think it was a teamwork decision what we make as P1. Yeah, the other guys were also on a good run. It wasn't easy with the code 60, but at the end, we are very happy.
I can tell. It was, and all of you at the back of the garage, it was big fist bumps going on there. I mean, it was a crazy three qualifying sessions, but you did just enough from all three.
Yeah, I was always asking in the radio, in the car, is it enough, or do I have to push a little bit more, or should I try to get a better lap? But at the end, it was a very good teamwork from the whole team and the drivers, so we are very happy now.
Does that mean the others should be worried that there's even more pace from this car?
Maybe more risk, but yeah, it depends. It is also a good pace then.
And I don't think we want risk over 12 hours, do we?
Yeah, we don't know.
What are you thinking about tomorrow?
I think we have a great setup, and also the other teammates feel very confident in the car, and yeah, always the same in 12 hours, stay in the lead lap and stay out of trouble, and that's what we're trying tomorrow.
Fantastic job, great pole.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Chris Dawes there, down with Max Edelhoff. Here is the results of qualifying, amalgamation of the three sessions. Car Collection Motorsport are on the pole position with Kirchhoff, Edelhoff and Elmar Grimm aboard that car for this particular event. The Evo 1 represented by Jutta Racing, very, very close though, just a 0.2 seconds between the two of them. And then CP Racing, just a couple of hundredths off that in third position. There will line up on row two alongside Red Ant, the 903 machine. Watch out for their strategy. They went very, very long in Spa. Leopard Motorsport 710, they improved up to fifth position in their Super Trofeo Lamborghini. And then 905 Pulseline Racing Team by Turting and Muskins is the best of the 992 category cars, ahead of Phoenix Racing up to seventh by the end in their Audi Evo 2. Red Camels in eighth position, the second of the 992 category cars. In ninth position, we have the second of the Super Trofeos, run by RD Signs, the 720. And then the M6 GT3 of JR Motorsport. Looking forward to having more screen time. That beautiful machine of Ted Van Vliet, Baz Schouten and Dirk Schouten. Then 904 Red Ant was on a push at the end there, but it could only manage 11th position. NKPP by HRT Performance, 992. Fifth in class, 12th overall in GT. The Vortex, just one Vortex this weekend, at 701 in 13th. And then E2P Racing, Javier Morcillo and Pablo Bugera. God, I haven't spoken about Javier Morcillo for about 10 years. A 991 category car, 14th. With Maniac, our new boys, in GT4 and 15th in the GT category. But, of course, fastest GT4 machine. Let's now go and focus on the TCE category. And Chris has the pole position, man.
I do. A very happy pole position, man. Oliver Solstrom, absolutely brilliant job. It looked strong all three sessions.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good team behind me. I mean, it's a new car for the whole team, so we're still learning a lot. And it was a good quali. Still, I feel not too confident in the car yet.
Really?
So we still have a lot to work on. So
that is very scary for your competitors. You're still not comfortable, but you guys put it on pole.
Yeah, but lap time wise, mine compared to the P2 was quite far off. But the average one, we were really strong. So I have good teammates.
What do you think you can do tomorrow based on that?
No, it's going to be all about the fuel saving and managing the tires. So let's hope we're as good in doing that.
Well, listen, fantastic job. Great pole position.
Thank you.
Qualifying is one thing, the race very much another. Here is the qualifying results for our TCE category cars. And it is, as we said, Lestrup Racing for the TCR machines, all Swedish lineup, with Andreas Backman part of that team, RS3 LMS TCR, ahead of our tie entry, the BBR Leanne Competition. And then Wolf Power Racing in third in the second of our Audis. We saw Vimmerwerk getting very close to the barriers. They ended up fourth position in their older Cupra TCR DSG. The best of the TCXs is the JSR Ligier of Swift Racing. And then they are ahead in sixth position of GSR Motorsports Golf GTI. We saw a lot of golfs at Spa. They do rise to the top at the end. Holmgard ended up in seventh position somehow, bearing in mind they really didn't have a very good time at all from our qualifying one. In fact, they didn't really get a lap in ahead of the second of the Lestrup Racing team cars, the 110, that also didn't get a lap in qualifying one and ends up eighth position in qualifying. Just one other car in TCX, the Veluga machine, not getting itself a lap time, unfortunately, due to a visit to the gravel. Well, it's been a wonderful day here at Hockenheim. Blue skies and an action-packed qualifying. We will get our 12 hours underway at just ahead of 2 o'clock local time here at Hockenheim. A longer 6 hours and a bit race on Saturday. A slightly shorter, just under 6-hour race on the Sunday to complete our 12 hours of the Hockenheimring. Thank you to our pit reporters. Thank you very much to Paul Truswell here in the commentary box. And we'll see you tomorrow.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.